It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Little League World Series continues in Williamsport. We got Panama, Rhode Island, Japan, and Texas all winning on Wednesday. They're back on the field this afternoon against Venezuela, Tennessee, Mexico, and North Dakota. All four games on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, best of the week. You've got to want this because I can't protect Aaron Rodgers. Come with me. This is what we're protecting, okay? I'm keeping this with me. I want a seat.
Rodgers needs a cushy
at this table
life.
For him. He needs a seat. We will protect this with our lives.
Your life.
Where are you? If you watch the, are you over here? Does everyone else feel better just having this nearby? I do. That boy bad.
No. It's called, man, that boy bad.
That boy bad.
Try it one more time.
That boy bad.
No. No, Greeny.
No.
George Pickens is an absolute
dog.
Dog. Damn that boy bad.
Damn that boy bad.
All right.
If you touch Rodgers behind on the picture, he also tagged David Bakhtiari. It is hidden. Always look to Aaron Rodgers' butt. He's got all the answers.
How do you feel turning the big 4-0?
I feel great. Look great.
Correct.
Rod with it. Lean with it. Rod with it.
Does that have a name? I don't know. You're looking something I can do.
Throw a little hip in it, Green.
It's got some extra moves to it.
We
got
to find a way to make your upper body and lower body be connected. Yeah, send each other a text message.
I am not.
Like, hey, no, this way.
I love it.
It's funny because my golf pro always tells me he wants me to disconnect my upper body and my lower body. It's only I get that reference. Okay, as we roll on here, jam-packed on Bart Scott's birthday on Get Up Today. Live from the Seaport, we're brought to you by Chase Barnwell is here. Kmart, Bartholomew & Company. Let's do it. It's time to get up with the brotherly love birds. We'll tell you one reason they may not fly, eagles fly quite so high this time around. Plus, there's a person in this room who believes the Jets are going to finish last in their division, and that person will feel my wrath. Also, that same person says we have it all wrong about Allen. What the entire world is missing about the Bills' best in Buffalo. All that and a whole lot more. So Football Friday, get up on ESPN. And we've got highlights for you. Oh, the Eagles and the Browns in action last night. Just good to see football players out there playing football. Although most of the most famous ones weren't. That's Deshaun Watson. That's Jalen Hurts. They're not out there. Marcus Mariota trying to make this team. What did we see from him last night, Bartholomew?
Yeah, a little bit of the same, man. This guy still struggles in being able to read the football field. They have a very big course in that backup quarterback for Jalen Hurts. He's going to have to play better if he's going to be on this football team.
And frankly, last night he was awful. He was sacked three times through that interception, 9 of 17, 86 yards. So that's the story with Mariota. Meanwhile, they've got Trey Sermon, who I know they like a lot. He made a few plays last night, though. He fumbles this one, Bart.
Yeah, there's some ball security, it's job security, so I'm sure he wants that one back, but I think the kid redeemed himself a little bit later.
He did. He was getting a pep talk there from his buddy Jalen Hurts, and then third quarter, here comes Sermon, and this one he's going to take to the house.
High and tight, 10 points of pressure, Greeny. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Nice bounce back as he takes it in. His running backs coaches, Jamal Singleton, hyping him up on the sideline, making him feel good. Right, third quarter,
about boy.
You know who took over? A young man named Austin Watkins Jr. caught 7 balls for Cleveland.
Hey, what? Reminiscent of a number 3 that I went against. We didn't know who this dude was. Went for 300 on us in the preseason. His name was Victor Cruz. Go ahead and do your thing, young fella. Do your thing.
Yeah, these games don't count, but they matter sometimes. Again, Watkins, 7 catches, 139 yards, and this touchdown that he gets off the bobble. Let's show you how this one was decided. For whatever that is worth. Fourth quarter, the Eagles are down by 8. Tanner McKee is in playing quarterback for them, and he's going to roll out and find Brady Russell for a touchdown.
Listen, how do you miss a 6'5", 260-pound tight end? Keep your eyes on your luggage.
And they'd go for the 2 and the tie, and they would get it here to Johnny King, and that's how it would end. It would end in an 18-18 tie, so we got to see some action last night, and as Jalen, he loves it. So Jalen Hurts was, I think, You can make an argument he was the story of the NFL last year. This is a young man of whom not that much was expected when he came into the league. Then we went into last season wondering if he was going to solidify the job. Now we go into this season wondering if he's the most valuable player in football. Do you expect that ascension to continue and the Eagles to stay where they've been?
I don't, Greeny. I think it's because of what's around Jalen Hurts, which is going to be more injured and less talented than it was a year ago. Eagles are one of the least injury-prone teams in football last year. They lost five starters on the defensive side of the ball. And on offense, the wide receivers were healthy, the running backs were healthy. Dallas Goedert did miss five games, but the offensive line, the core of that team, the thing they invest in year after year, missed a total of just three starts all season. So I think Jalen Hurts was going to be just as good, but the pieces around him aren't going to be as good.
Law of averages. And so the question, and this is actually, you know, Harry Douglas brought this up yesterday, Kmart, when I was asking him about Jalen Hurts. He said the next step in Hurts becoming the player that we think he can become is, can he elevate everything else when everything else isn't right? We know Patrick Mahomes, if things, everything else goes wrong, Mahomes will find a way to do it. Burrow will find a way to do it. Is Hurts ready to be that guy now?
Agreed. You know, when I talk about Jalen Hurts being, I talked about on the show, being disrespected, it's because the comments about him are, oh, but the Eagles, they have, look at their team, it's so loaded. Is it really about Jalen? And I have this argument with people all the time that say, well, I need to see more because last year wasn't enough. Last year was such an extraordinary season. Had he not gotten hurt and late, had he not gotten injured late, he could have been MVP. And so when I look at, can Jalen Hurts top what he did last year? To top it, it's to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. And I think the statistical probability is what stops me from saying, of course. But this is a kid I'm super high on. I think he's one of the best talents in the NFL. And I think he's got that drive. I think we will see him have to elevate this team.
How about his team, Bart? Are the Eagles, in your view, the team to beat for the NFC Championship again?
They're in the CFL. They're in the JV league. You know, if we talked about the top 10 teams in all of football, eight of them would be in the AFC.
Yes.
So he has an easier path. And if he gets there, he's probably going to go against the San Francisco 49ers, who we don't know who's going to be their quarterback. Trey Lance or, you know,
Brock Purdy.
Or is it the return of the Marlboro man and Sam Darnold? Right? So this is the thing. His path is so much easier. You talk about all the weapons that he lost. But let's keep it real. Howie Roseman has been executive of the year, should win executive of the year for the last 3 years. Okay, I lose Hargrave. Okay, I'll go get a guy that dropped in the draft in Jalen Carter. Nope. Okay, I lost my tackling machine. But guess what? He got N'Kobe Dean. And where would N'Kobe Dean have been if he didn't have the shoulder injury? He would have been a first-round draft. He got him at third-round value. And then he gets Nolan Smith, already to add to a team that led the league in sacks. He has two lockdown corners. So they got better and they got cheaper, which is what all great general managers wish for. So can he be better? Yes. Does that mean that they win a championship? I don't know. But you can't tell me a team in the NFC that has a better, you know, better role who can sustain injuries at a position here or there because their team is so loaded because of what their general manager has done.
Barnwell.
I would lean towards the Cowboys as being a team that has enough around them.
He's trolling you because he wore that suit. He knew it.
Yes,
he was like,
exactly.
I'm going to come in here and wear the suit.
Why? Give me the case for Dallas.
Because the Cowboys got better this offseason when the Eagles got worse. They brought in Stephon Gilmore.
You can't.
They brought in Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I'm guessing the Eagles made plenty of smart decisions.
Bill.
Sure.
What player would you take off of Philadelphia outside of Michael Parsons and add to Philadelphia?
I would add CeeDee Lamb. I would add Zach.
CeeDee Lamb over AJ Brown.
Over, yeah.
Man, you don't really believe that. Okay, let's go. So you're going to take Brandon Cooks, who's been on 25 teams, over Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith.
No, I take Devontae Smith over Brandon Cooks.
They've got a lot of good players. They've got Trayvon Diggs. They have got Zach Martin.
Tony Pollard.
You taking Trayvon Diggs over Big Play Slay? No.
They say it's 32.
Okay, how old is Gilmore? That dude, oh, he's getting AARP cards.
I thought you were coming to restore order,
you're
Bart.
No, 43.
Chaos.
We're all getting AARP cards.
Yeah,
he was
in high school with me.
Okay, so we got the Eagles are the favorites to win that division. We'll see what winds up happening. I want to get to the other piece of this because we got into this debate earlier here. Look, Cowboys, Eagles, going to be an interesting race in that NFC East as it was a year ago. Meantime, the team the Eagles were playing last night was Cleveland. And the Browns are a team that no one talks about. Maybe in practice, no one wants to. No one knows what to say about Deshaun Watson. Everything about this story is so unpleasant and so complicated. It's very difficult to make it about football. But the reality is, he's about to start a season with enormous football expectations. What are they? We talked about it here yesterday.
He was the number one passer in 2020. He completed 70% of his passes, 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, 440-plus yards rushing. I think that's entirely too much if we're asking Deshaun to get back to that guy right now. I think if we can get 75% of that, Cleveland, I think right now would be okay with that.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
He should absolutely get back to that.
He's better, right? That's the point that we got into a really sort of healthy debate on yesterday, is the reality is Cleveland gave him a contract that had never been given before in NFL history, and they didn't bring him in there to be 75% of anything. They brought him in there to be what he was when last seen, which is the second-best quarterback in the league at that time, right? It was Mahomes, and then it was Deshaun. Is he going to be that again?
I don't know if he'll be that, but I think he'll be a lot closer to that in 2023. Look at what he did in 2022. He came in the middle of the season, clearly was not comfortable. He averaged a longer time to throw than any other quarterback in football last year once he came into the lineup. 3.3 seconds for Deshaun Watson to get rid of the football. He's going to hold on to the football and make plays. That's his game. But last time he was active in 2020, he was 10th in the NFL, not first. I think he's going to be more confident within the context of the offense. I think their offense is going to be more geared towards him. And I think he's going to make better decisions with the football. Can he be the guy from 2020, 2019? I think that's tough to say. But can he be a competitive quarterback that pushes the Browns towards the postseason? I think he can do that.
What are they saying in Cleveland, Kmart?
In Cleveland, the expectation is that he will be closer to the 2020 version. I think here's one play that exemplifies that. He played one series in the first preseason game, but it wasn't even a throw that excited people. It was him escaping a sack from Chase Young. Mm-hmm. Chase, that elusivity, that is what they're looking at. That's what they're thinking. That is the Deshaun of old. That's the guy who last year didn't look comfortable in the pocket, and now he's able to escape pressure, look down the field. He's more comfortable. He's more comfortable with these receivers, and he's going to be more comfortable in this offense. Here's the context that is missing. Last year, he missed 11 games. That offense was tailored to Jacoby Brissett, who is a much different player than Deshaun Watson. Now you come in, Deshaun Watson is telling Kevin Stefanski, this is the stuff that I'm comfortable with. This is what I want to do. And now we have no idea what the Browns' offense will look like with Deshaun Watson. And that's a great thing.
Listen, I think because he was such a big star in college, and it feels like he's been around so long, that I think we sometimes overestimate how old he
right.
is. He will turn 28 the first week of the season.
Right.
So he's still a very young player. I mean, Bart, look, I mean, what do you expect from him?
And that's why I don't understand Harry's point. I understand, could he get back? It's not like he's past his prime. He's just entering his prime, you know, where the mind and the body kind of meet and everything slows down. Listen, this is one of the best, most talented players, and I think he's going to remind people, much like Kevin Durant did, much like Kawhi Leonard did, when he gets back out there, just who he is and what he's been for this league. And he's the ultimate winner. Remember, he was at a dysfunctional organization. And the knock on the Houston Texans and all their teams was that Deshaun Watson was always running for his life. But now he's going to a top five offensive line. And the fact that he even has 3 seconds to have to process means that he's going to be better. Because you talk about his skill position, going out and getting Elijah Moore. Last year, everybody just doubled Amari Cooper, and he had to hold on and birth the baby. But now he's going to have an opportunity to be able to deliver the ball on time. He has the best running back in all of football, the best offensive line coach in all of football. So he's going to have guys running wide open because you're going to have to put 8 men in a box. And now I think the unspoken thing is nobody talks about the acquisition of Jim Schwartz. Everybody talks about Vic Fangio and how the Miami Dolphins are a live dog because of that. If they get the talent that they have on defense to play up to their expectations within that division, Cleveland is not only a live dog to win that division, they're a live dog to be a sneaky Super Bowl champ.
Super sneaky.
Woo!
Contender this year, Cleveland, really quickly, buying that yes or no?
I believe it, and it's nice that we agree once in a while.
I agree.
Well, look, it only took a damn near 70 minutes
For those of you just joining us, they are, yes, they're wearing the same suit. And I asked Bart to put on a name tag because I was having trouble telling them apart otherwise. So I thought, you know, with the same suit, so we got, Bart has got the name tag on today, and that's how we're taking care of business. All right, as we continue, there is a person in this room. His name is Bill, who believes the Jets are going to finish last in their division. Coming up, that man will feel my wrath. Plus, that same person says we have it all wrong about Allen. What the entire world is missing about the Bills' best in Buffalo. That's on the way. What a morning. Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And our buddy Bill Barnwell has an article on ESPN.com where he details the fatal flaws of various Super Bowl contenders. Let's go through those. But Barnwell, what are the Chiefs' fatal flaw?
It's dependence on Travis Kelce. Of course, that's a good flaw to have. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. Still looks like he's not aging the same way Pete Carroll is not aging. But that wide receiver core, if Travis Kelce were to take a step backwards, if he were to get injured after being healthy all these years, suddenly that would be a weakness for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Bartholomew, what do you think? What's your biggest concern about the defending champs?
Well, for me, it's their dependence on Chris Jones, because if he's not there, then they don't have the pass rush that they need to protect that secondary, you know, who played well. But if he's not there, then I think that's their biggest flaw. They need him to be who he's been the last couple of years, which is the best defensive tackle in all of football.
All right, so that's the Chiefs. Let's go to the 49ers next. Bill, what is San Francisco's fatal flaw?
It's the health of their stars on the offensive side of the ball. We know what they can do when everybody's healthy. We saw it last year in the second half, but Christian McCaffrey missed most of the prior two seasons because of injuries. George Kittle has missed a chunk of time. Deebo Samuel has missed time each of his pro seasons. Trent Williams, the star left tackle, has missed time. So everyone on the field, great, but just concerned that they're not going to have everybody on the field for 17 games in 2023.
And their quarterbacks always get hurt, too. Kmart, how about the biggest concern you have for San Francisco?
Health. That's it. Health to anyone. That's the only thing that I think can stop the 49ers. I was there for that NFC title game. They went through 4 quarterbacks last year, and still they were in that game. So I think that's the only thing that's going to stop them.
They were ready to bring Philip Rivers out of retirement to start the Super Bowl if they had gotten there. And then, Bill, I hesitantly ask, what is the fatal flaw of the New York Jets?
It's the offensive line concerns for the New York Jets. Those two tackles, Dwayne Brown and Mekhi Becton, coming off of surgeries. Mekhi Becton's been in and out of camp with his knee, still getting back to 100%. Hopefully he is, but two guys, neither of whom want to play right tackle, interior of the line. You have Elijah Vera Tucker, their best lineman, coming off of surgery himself. I think this is a major, major blinking point. This is the check engine light for the Jets and their Super Bowl hopes. If they can keep the engine going, they'll be fine.
Yeah, but we all have driven with the check engine light on. We've been straight. Like, we've gotten to our destination.
Sometimes it works out, and sometimes...
Sometimes our car is not 39 years old, though.
Yeah, sometimes you're on the side of the road begging for someone to come and help you. So I get that part of it. And again, I believe the answer to this problem, the solution, has been offered by the most significant source in all of sports, and that is the rear end of Aaron Rodgers. I once again will call your attention to his Instagram post of yesterday, where he seems to be shouting out his receivers. But if you touch his butt, you see that he actually tags David Bakhtiari, his old offensive tackle, his old buddy from Green Bay. Kmart, I'm begging you to tell me that the Jets, this is Rodgers saying he wants Bakhtiari. There's no question. What does Bakhtiari do? He protects his backside, right? That's what the guy's job is. That's Rodgers telling the world he wants it. Please tell me they can do this.
Yeah, they're going to try. If here's the thing. My question, though, is the flip side. If you're the Packers, do you want to give the Jets and Aaron Rodgers Bakhtiari? Mm-hmm. Do you want to do mm-hmm. – because the better they play, the worse your pick gets. You know what I'm saying? So
the more snaps Rodgers plays, the better the pick becomes
right,
that Green Bay
right,
gets.
Right. So why would you want to – like, why would you want to help? I guess my point is, why would you even want to send a really good player to your old player?
Because he's expensive.
He's expensive.
Fair, but right now is not. You're going to move him now?
They have Jordan Love not making that much money this year.
Like, I just don't see how it makes sense for the Jets. I understand it, but from the Packers,
Bart, tell me we
can do
this. Why
would they do that?
Because I'm not convinced that the players that the Jets have in camp, the players that are currently receiving a check from the New York Jets, are good enough to get them where they want to go on that offensive line.
Well, I push back as far as the offensive line as bad as people are portraying them to
Good.
Be. Remember, they're playing without Dwayne Brown, which I think
None
we should give some
yet.
Of the consideration of Andre Whitworth, who played well into his 41 years old,
right.
Won a Super Bowl. Dwayne Brown, if you look at his resume, is actually more decorated than that.
Yes.
Vera Tucker, yes, he was injured, but it was a tricep. It's not a lower extremity, so that those heal and those don't become problems. But, you know, to your point, I think you should try and pursue, you know, David Bakhtiari. And you should ask, why would the Green Bay Packers want to do that? Well, because the more snaps that Aaron Rodgers plays and the better the Jets do, the better that pick goes. So they can get a first-round draft pick. So that gives them two first-round draft picks. And then possibly they can ask the Jets for a second-round draft pick. Understand, Aaron Rodgers gave back $35 million, not because he was being a nice guy.
Right.
Because he wanted to have the ability, like Tom Brady, to go out and pick some of the groceries. And if he already said he wanted Dalvin Cook as one of the groceries, Joe Douglas obliged him. And if he wants, you know, David Bakhtiari, if you can get up to your first and second next year, then I think you can do that.
But now you're hurting Jordan
Love. Because you're building for the future. And if Jordan Love, you're convinced that Jordan Love is there, you don't want to have a 31-year-old guy that's the second highest paid left tackle who hasn't been healthy. But listen, the Packers haven't been getting their money's worth the last couple of years from David because he hasn't been available. So if you can dump a guy that's often injured, you don't get more healthy as you get older.
I just want to bring everyone's attention to something that happened a little earlier in the program by recreating it against my better judgment. Hey, Bill Barnwell, where do you expect the Jets to finish in the AFC East this year?
We're having a good moment, Greeny. Why?
Going off the rails here. The Jets are going to finish last in the AFC East. We know this is going to happen.
Listen.
This is the Jets. Bart, I realize you were on the Jets when they were good.
He said, Bart, I realize you were on the Jets 600 years ago, the
right.
last time.
Who am I, Moses?
Let the man talk. Why do you believe they're going to finish last?
The offensive line is a concern. The defense, which was great last year, no question. It was the healthiest defense in football last year. They're not going to be as healthy in 2023. Mm-hmm. Their offensive coordinator just got ran out of the building as the head coach in the Broncos. He's never been a good play caller anywhere.
You think Aaron Rodgers is a play caller?
Bill, let's go over this, because I'm trying to understand what your math is. How you keep telling me 1 + 1 = 10. I can't ride with that. You're telling me a 7-9 team.
Yep.
7-10, but okay. They play
okay,
17
seven,
games.
Okay, 7-10 team.
Yeah.
Goes out and gets a four-time MVP that was an MVP less than 18 months ago.
No question.
Right? Go out and get a four-time, you know, Pro Bowl running back. They have the reigning offensive and defensive player of the year.
Rookies of the year, yeah.
They go out and they add, they make a strength, a bigger strength by going out and adding. How does McDonald look so far in preseason?
He looks great.
Okay, so you talk about sustained injuries. They go 10 deep at pass rusher,
right? No question.
So you mean to tell me that you believe that team will finish last?
Bart, who's going to finish last in the AFC East?
What do you mean? New England.
New England.
What the hell you mean?
The Patriots who managed to win nine games would be annoying every single year are going to be last. They didn't make any
So who has the worst quarterback in the division?
Patriots do.
Okay.
Good question.
Okay, who has the worst skill position players in the division?
The Patriots do.
Let me know that you put some shinola in that drink before you got in here. We get to have that tested forensically.
Okay. The fight has continued all morning long, and candidly, I'm here for it. We'll do much more as we continue. Our next order of business will involve that man, Russell Wilson. Can he hack it again in Denver? Bart will tell us why Sean Payton may have some explaining to do at some point this season. Plus, is the next great dynamic duo in football in Pittsburgh? Pickett and Pickens, are they a sneaky playoff team? We continue in just a moment. We got Bart this morning, and we got not Bart. They're wearing the same.
Choo-doo. We're singing group.
Choo-doo. Come on, Bill.
Choo-doo. We the fake taste.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Rolling along on a Friday wake-up call time. Dodgers, do it.
Go get some concessions. You might miss something.
High drive down the left field line. Austin Barnes! Austin Barnes! Dodgers lead 1-0.
Dodgers continue to be the hottest team in baseball. They've won 11 straight, their longest streak of the season. They seem to like this time of month. They're 79-20 in August over the last 4 years, including 15-1 this season. We are heading down the stretch of the Major League Baseball year. Meanwhile, we're just getting set to start the football season. Big weekend of preseason action, so let's do a weekend forecast. Bart, what are you looking at with Trey Lance in San Francisco?
Can he process? I mean, this has been god-awful. I mean, you talk about what San Francisco gave up to get him. He could be playing for his career because you can't go into a season with Trey Lance as your backup how he's looked in preseason. You know, this is a buyer beware of Anthony Richardson when you have guys that don't really play that much in college and they come out and you expect them to start. He's having growing pains before our eyes, and because of injuries, he is not a third-year player. He's still, a kid, so to speak.
We'll see the Steelers and Bills. Kmart, how about Kenny Pickett?
Oh, Greeny, I just want to see more passes to George Pickens. Pickens, I'm on this ticket for 2023. Pickens can catch anything. So I think it's clear that they have an obvious connection. I just want to see Kenny Pickett just progress a little bit more, because I actually think they're a better team than people think. And book it. All four AFC North teams are making the playoffs.
Oh, four?
Second all season. Four.
So what did me?
I want to come four. Back to that. Hold on. I'm coming back to that. But in that same game, Josh Allen, I feel like he's been sort of the forgotten man, Bill Barnwell. Talk to me about the Bills quarterback.
He needs to protect himself and not put himself in danger. And this is not something, obviously, in the preseason, you don't want to be taking hits anyway. But this has to extend into the regular season for Josh Allen. The Bills have to do this too, not call design runs, keep him out of danger. But for Josh Allen, I think it's about just keep staying alive and staying healthy into the postseason, where he's going to have to be a difference maker for the Bills.
Well, let's talk a little bit about them, because a year ago at this time, they were the talk of the league. They were everybody's sexy pick. They went out and they just murdered, massacred the Rams in that opener, and we thought, oh, the Bills are the team to beat. Mm-hmm. And then everything kind of went sideways on them a little bit. Now I feel like they're just completely overlooked. How do you see the Bills right now?
They are Super Bowl contenders. I think they're almost as good as they were a year ago. There's some injury concerns. Got a little bit older. Von Miller tearing his ACL for the second time. Obviously has to be a concern. But this is still a team that gave the Chiefs fits. A team that, at their best, we know they can not just beat anybody in football, but manhandle everybody in football.
Tell everybody why you thought it fell apart. You made this point in our meeting this morning, and I liked it. Why did it fall apart for them last year?
It felt like they got emotionally exhausted by the end of the season. There was that snowstorm in Buffalo where people died. They lost a home game and had to move that home game to Detroit, where they were in Detroit for an extra week. They had the DeMar Hamlin situation, which, of course, nobody can anticipate that happening. Josh Allen gets hurt in midseason. It felt like by the end of the year, by the postseason, in that Dolphins game and that Bengals game, they were just a worn-out, exhausted football team. And I think they're going to be refreshed. They have every reason to feel like we're doubting them at this point of the offseason.
So Bart, I feel like a lot of people talk about the Bills like a team whose window is closing. How do you see it?
That window is closing. Listen, this is a team that's been in that window for three seasons, right? And they're a team that invested heavily. They spent a lot of money, a lot of draft capital. You know, but they still have the holes, right? Remember, when you talk about, you know, how this team looked against Miami, they got the ball ran down their throat. Mm. They didn't really improve that. And bringing in Von Miller, we talk a lot about Odell Beckham, about we expect him to be the player that he used to be, or can he be the player that he used to be? Well, Von Miller's had two ACL surgeries. He's 34 years old, and this window is closing for them. So I'm what I'm saying is, like, you talk about Josh Allen protecting himself, but they haven't really, you know, had an answer to the question as far as, can they run the football? Will Ken Dorsey be able to run the football? They have to establish the run, much like, you know, McCarthy's trying to do for Dak, to protect Josh Allen from himself, because he's always going to revert to who he is as nature, and he's going to try and put the team on his back. We've seen the comp of who Josh Allen is. It was Cam Newton, and it was all beautiful, you know, for a while early in his career until those hits start adding up. Mm-hmm. It's not a great recipe to think that you can keep looking up linebackers and taking them on and have a long quality of life in the NFL.
Yeah, the question isn't can they run the ball. The question is can anyone but him run the ball for Buffalo. And, you know, I close my eyes and I can still picture how many times have we had Kmart on here in the wool hat and the big gloves and the big parka and the scarf. I feel like you've spent a lot of time around this.
And I was a columnist in Buffalo, too.
Talk to me.
I've seen this team go from, I've seen a lot of iterations of this team. I've literally been in that locker room talking to defensive players about, oh, how our defense is great. Well, our defense could be like the 85 Bears. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I've seen the Bills emerge as America's team in a sense, but I've also seen the Bills be their own worst enemy. Josh Allen, I don't know if Josh Allen can protect himself. I really don't know, because Josh Allen playing the way he does, running like the Terminator, he is looking to kill you when he's on the field. Like, honestly, he's looking to run you over, run through you as a quarterback. So he's going to fight for every yard. He's not going to change. And honestly, as much as they want him to take it easy, slide, do all that stuff, the reason they're as good as they are is because he does it all. But it's the defense that oftentimes breaks down and does it and doesn't hold when it needs to. And now Leslie Frazier isn't there. They felt like, okay, we want this defense to be more aggressive. Well, now Sean McDermott, you're calling the defense. Mm-hmm. It has to be better. How long is Micah Hyde going to play? How long is Von Miller going to play? The window is closing. They are a Super Bowl contender, but it is definitely closing.
All right, fascinating time for them and for that young star quarterback. I want to circle back to something you said a few minutes ago, too, about Pittsburgh, because there's an increasing amount of attention being given now to this young star receiver, George Pickens. Mm-hmm. Much of this conversation, well, A, he looks so good in the preseason. But then Ryan Clark earlier this week on NFL Live had everybody talking when he said this.
George Pickens is much more talented than Justin Jefferson.
Really?
Justin Jefferson understands everything about playing the position, stems, leverage. He can catch the football in all kinds
of awkward
positions. He's a savant of the position. George Pickens is an absolute freakazoid.
And so I go back to when George Pickens was drafted. I do the draft for us. And so I said he was going to be a complicated evaluation because he had the knee injury in college. He didn't get to play hardly at all his final season. But he, the combination of size, speed, and just talent is practically unmatched, right, Bart? I mean, from a physical standpoint, there may not be anybody better than this.
And he has hands like DeAndre Hopkins where he doesn't drop balls. And, like, when you talk about, listen, one thing you can always count on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to draft a great receiver and they're going to find pass rushers. You can go back to Santonio Holmes. Mm-hmm. You can talk about the non-first-rounders when you talk about, you know, Antonio Brown. You talk about Emmanuel Sanders. You go back to Hines Ward, Randall L., Plexico Burress. Like, and he just fits right in. They go there. They know how to cultivate. They know how to develop receivers. And listen, they have one of the best dynamic dudes. And watch Allen Robinson all of a sudden, who's been disappointing the last couple of years, become a star again, Frankenmuth, right? And I mean, Kenny Pickett is set up for success. I don't know if they get into the playoffs just because I think that the other teams are ahead in the process. And I think the Wink Link will eventually be the quarterback. But listen, they're going to be right there. We know Mike Tomlin doesn't have losing seasons. Mm-hmm. And you know if they're going to do that, it's going to be because Pickett is a big part of their success.
What do you think? Talk to me about George Pickens.
George Pickens, to me, I think has the upside to be a top five receiver in the NFL as early as this season. And there's a thing in the numbers I found that just blew my mind. It was crazy to me. There's an NFL next-gen stats metric called expected catch rate. So what are your chances of catching the football based on where the defenders are, where the quarterback threw the football, where you're running, your speed, the defender's speed? George Pickens last year was at 51% for his expected catch rate, 5 percentage points lower than anybody else in football. George Pickens caught 61% of the passes in his direction. Even though he had it harder than anybody else in the league, he was still producing numbers last year. So if Kenny Pickett takes that step forward this year that I think a lot of us are expecting, George Pickens could go from being a guy who's making hay with very little to being a guy who's an absolute superstar.
Pickett to Pickens is about to become the next thing, yeah?
Make some T-shirts now. I love this combo, but here's the thing. They actually, Pickens can be one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He can catch anything. He does not drop anything. But what I don't like is that he does not get separation. Mm-hmm. He is not a route technician in the way we talk about Devontae Adams and you talk about other guys. So when everybody's going apoplectic about what Ryan Clark said, he said basically that Aaron Rodgers is more talented than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady is a better quarterback. It's the same comparison. George Pickens has all the tools, but again, there's another level when you're becoming one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But like he has to.
But his size is actually his separation, right? Because his catch radius is so big. You talk about Marcus Colson. You talk about Michael Thomas. You talk about Andre Johnson. None of those guys had tremendous separation because they didn't have short area quickness. His separation is his catch radius, and he's able to be able to separate because of his size and put guys on his back and make contested catches. So you don't, you know, different ways. Hines Ward had no separation. It's his physicality.
But to your point, I think what Ryan Clark was saying is that if he takes a step forward in that and sort of learning, understanding the position,
there's
the development
bigger,
you're talking about.
There's a bigger component to it. Yes, he's a tremendous talent. But if you want to be one of the best in the game, you got there's a maturity aspect, too, that is also involved. Mm-hmm. So I think the sky's the limit for him, but he's got to put in the work.
I'll tell you what, no better place for him to develop and have that happen than the
receiver
development factory
of Receiver U.
Steelers going to make the playoffs, yes or no?
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Hell no.
Baltimore Bart.
That's a Raven talking for you right there. All right, we're rolling on. Coming up next, it is fourth down for Russell Wilson. Can he convert and keep the drive alive in Denver, or does it all end here for a future Hall of Famer? But first, we got Bart back. Time to put him right in the fire with trivia on his birthday. Here we go. Since 1950, which rookie quarterback won the most games in a single season? It includes playoffs. Rookie quarterback in his rookie season won the most games. The answer is next.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
All right, I put the pressure on Bart Scott by telling him that I think you're going to get this right. I think you got this. So going back to 1950, which rookie quarterback won the most games in his rookie season? And I will tell you, it includes the playoffs.
Now, I would think Dan Marino. I know he had a tremendous year, but that's not going to be my pick because I can remember a game we knocked the quarterback out, and then by the second half, we asked, was he okay? Because they put this rookie in, and he went on a streak like no other. His name was Ben Roethlisberger.
And the answer is Ben Roethlisberger. That is correct from Bart Scott. Let me tell you who was close. Roethlisberger won 13 regular season games, then won a playoff. Dak Prescott won 13 regular season games, but didn't win a playoff game. Joe Flacco won 11 games in the regular season and two in the playoffs.
That's the AFC Championship, yeah.
And then you guys wound up in the AFC Championship game against the Steelers. But he gets it right, as I knew he would.
Sign of things to come.
On his birthday.
Losing playoff.
Oh, always finds a way to sound off. Speaking of which, that's where we are next. Let's hear what stuff that people are saying. The Cowboys have had a bunch of fights in their training camp practices this week. Yesterday, Dak Prescott said he's encouraged by all this fighting.
That's credit to, as I said, everything that we've really put into this team, into both units, feeling like nobody's the little brother. And as I told the offense the other day, I grew up being the little brother, and that's not happening anymore.
Fights in training camp, good or a bad thing, Bart Scott?
It can be productive, I mean, but, you know, you don't want guys to get hurt, and that's what you have to be mature about it. And you can't fight just for the sake of fighting. If a guy beats you, don't get mad because he's kicking your ass in practice. But it's hot out there. See, that right there, that cheap shot, then I might have to holler at you in the locker room. We might have to continue this.
Yeah, because that's what you don't want, is you don't want this stuff spilling over beyond all of that. All right, our next sound off came from Tyreek Hill, superstar receiver. This one cracked me up. Spoke yesterday on how he prepares for games.
Man, believe this or not, I don't watch no film, bro. Like, I just know the game of football inside out. I just go get on Madden, I go to the EA rosters, then I scroll down and see what their awareness is, their speed is, and they sprint, and that's how I get a good tail on them.
Kmart, that was Tyreek Hill saying that the way he scouts his opponents is just playing Madden and checking them out. What do you think of that?
I don't need to study the game. I know football inside out. Like, what are we talking about? I hate to sound like some old man screaming at the clouds, like, how could this kid say? He must feel like he's so fast. All he has to do is just turn on a game. He's like, okay, I'm done. Like, imagine, I'm almost like, I want to be embarrassed. Like, I can't believe he said that. Is he joking?
Is he joking?
Wait, pause.
No, listen. I've had teammates. We used to put blank CDs in there, and guys come there to have to do their report. Like, yeah, I saw this and that. They, bro, you got the blank report. So, listen. I tell you, player, he gonna check the film on. He gonna check it on Sauce because he got filleted last year. You know, talking all that stuff. The cheetah got slowed down a little bit, so you better watch some film on Sauce because he got at him last year.
I don't like that game.
I know. It's weird. I just saw the Johnny Manziel documentary, and he's talking about how he watched
Jamarcus Russell.
And look how that thing turned out. All right, now we have this one for you, Barnwell. This is Sean Payton talking about his praise. Everyone's knocking Russell Wilson. Here's Sean Payton's praise for his quarterback.
He asked a lot of questions about Drew. He asked a lot of questions about the offense. And I would say this, and this is a really good trait for any player, but he really, really wants to please. And he wants, just like Drew, just like Kamara or Cortland or these really good players, offensively or defensively, they want you to say wow at practice, and he's that way.
No. That's Sean with Kay Adams. I was going to go to Barnwell, but why you're
yelling at
that ain't it.
You know what? It ain't it.
It
almost sounds like when a guy is like, hey, my friend wants to talk to you, and you're like, tell me about him. And he's like, well, he's really nice. Like, it's like, bro, I don't want to see him. Listen, don't want to see him.
Look at this.
Because it just feels like if that's all that, not Bart. If that's
not Bart. not Drew. How about that? He ain't Drew Brees. And I think that's what he's going to figure out. Like, and the fact that he wants to please just means that he wants to do aesthetically what it needs to be. Like, he's like the guy that gives the teacher apple the first day. Like,
that's a good one.
Now, here's what I want to give Barnwell the chance to say, okay? Because no one ever lets this man talk. Here's the point. I have had nothing but people on this set for the last several weeks telling me how awful Russell Wilson's season is going to be. What do you think?
I think he is going to be better. I don't know if he's going to be quite the guy the Broncos were expecting, but I think they're going to take steps in the right direction. Sean Payton, I believe Sean Payton took this job knowing he had to fix Russell Wilson. They can move on. Sean Payton can be there 2 or 3 years from now, but I do believe that he would not have taken this job if he was not confident.
Greeny,
he can take care of
Russell Wilson. Let me just remind you, this is an arranged marriage, right?
Yeah, between these two.
And also, this guy has your Jets finishing fourth. So I don't know. I don't know if you want to take what he's saying.
But his point is right. It's an arranged marriage only to an extent. Sean Payton didn't have to take
this job. Yes, he did.
Because he couldn't get the Chargers gig. That's what
Just wait a year. There'll be more. He could have the Cowboys job in a year if he wants.
No, he couldn't get that job. Listen, I think he's going to be apologizing to Nathaniel Hackett about some of the comments. Listen, Russell Wilson is done. Listen, he's going to finish third within his division. He's not going to be better than Herbert. He's not going to be better than Mahomes. And no matter what, like, listen, Russell is losing his short area quickness. And what made him special was his ability to be able to make people miss. Did you see them in the first preseason game? Did that give you any, like, confidence that he was going to be great? He kept the starting offense out there for four drives.
They need the reps. Drives.
No, they couldn't score. Yeah. So he's like, you're not coming out here until you do something, until you score. It took him a whole quarter.
He can be good without being as good as Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Here's my biggest...
It's the Deshaun question. Did you give up everything to get him for him to just be
Seahawks. He single-handedly built the Seahawks. Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's a very good point.
Thank you.
I think that I've given up on the idea that Russell Wilson is ever going to be a superstar again. Sure. Now we're just wondering if he can get him to a place where he can maintain his role as a starting quarterback. In and of itself, that's telling that this is our expectation.
Absolutely.
Right?
And you saw what they did this offseason. They go out and they get offensive linemen. They get a blocking tight end. They get another running back in Samaje Perine. It's not going to be Russ throwing the ball 700 times, but if they can get that running game going, get Russ working off of play action, and the defense, which was very good last year before they got hurt in December, he can be the third best quarterback in the division.
A lot of
they can still make the postseason.
How are they going to make the postseason in the AFC if they finish behind the Chargers?
They could be 10-7.
Talk about all four going in.
Let me say something.
I
need to say
Big
something.
Big head, go ahead.
All morning long, Bart is in midseason form. He's aggravated all the time about everything. So we want to put a smile on his face. Today is Bart Scott's birthday, and we have prepared a little birthday cake celebration for Bartholomew
happy
Scott. What do you think of that? We got the happy birthday. What is your? We have a birthday wish. What is your wish, Bart Scott?
My wish is for the Jets to win the Super Bowl, so we can get tired of this narrative that the Jets can't have nice things, Bill.
Oh, that's exactly right. That should be everyone's birthday wish. To everyone whose birthday is today or any day, we hope you will share in that. Bart Scott, a very happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
These guys are going over to do First Take coming up in just a minute here. Here's what they're talking about. How much pressure is on Jalen Hurts? How far do the Jets have to go for it to be a success? Bart and Kmart and Company, First Take, top of the hour right here.
To the Super Bowl.
On ESPN.
No lines, huh?
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Little League World Series rolls on. Panama, Rhode Island, Japan, and Texas all won earlier this week. They're back on the field today, taking on Venezuela, Tennessee, Mexico, and North Dakota. All four games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, best of the week. You've got to want this because I can't protect Aaron Rodgers. Come with me. This is what we're protecting, okay? I'm keeping this with me. I want a seat.
Rodgers needs a cushy
at this table
leg.
For him. He needs a seat. We will protect this with our lives.
Your life.
Where are you? If you watch are you over here? Does everyone else feel better just having this nearby? I do. That boy bad.
No. It's called Man, that boy bad.
That boy bad.
Try it one more time.
That boy bad.
No Greeny.
No.
George Pickens is an absolute
dog.
Damn that boy bad.
Damn that boy bad.
All right.
If you touch Rodgers behind on the picture, he also tagged David Bakhtiari. It is hidden. Always look to Aaron Rodgers' butt. He's got all the answers.
How do you feel turning the big 4-0?
I feel great. Look great.
Correct.
Rod with it. Lean with it. Rod with it.
Does that have a name? Does it? I feel like it's something I can do.
Throw a little hips in it, Greeny.
Fun week. We thank you all for getting up with us every day. Barnwell, great to have you here. Who's in the Super Bowl this year? Who are the two teams?
Chiefs and Cowboys.
Chiefs and Cowboys.
Chiefs and Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Bart Scott was still here. He'd be yelling at you again.
Well, I'm not Bart. My name is Bill.
And really enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.